This is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me is not the entire crew, Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Googs.
Oh, yes. Let's go, boys.
Dom DeRosa unfortunately cannot be with us today. He had other matters to attend to. Nevertheless, we wish him well, and he will be back next week. But boys, it's been it was a crazy football weekend. Obviously, we've been telling the listeners that this show is going to be dedicated to the Hall of Fame announcement that happened on Tuesday, January 25th. But before we get into that and what happened, NFL playoff weekend, the divisional round, it came and went, and boy, it has to be one of the most memorable divisional rounds we've seen ever. I mean, it was kind of like all the games were close, shootout games, decided by field goals, touchdowns, like anything you could have wanted as a football fan in that weekend, you got.
It was special. I mean, did you guys watch every single game?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, but I did. I was like from 4:30 on Saturday to, you know, what Chiefs Bills ended at like 10 on Sunday. I was glued to each game. Like, I mean, we had the first game. Oh, excuse
Bengals.
Me. Bengals and the I'm blanking too now.
Bengals Titans,
like Joe Burrow showing up. Ryan Tannehill didn't play good. And then you had the freaking Packers and the 49ers. I mean, I didn't think the Packers would lose that game. And now questions of Aaron Rodgers' legacy, and that we'll probably go into. And then Sunday's games were crazy. We almost had another Tom Brady, like, crazy comeback. And then game of the year, I would say, between the Bills and Chiefs. So it was just the best football weekend I've ever witnessed, ever. It was unbelievable. Awesome.
Yeah, and you know, Sean, I know Nico, you know, your brother, and surprised we haven't had him on the show. You know, he's the big Bengals fan, as are you, even though that's your second team. Obviously, you're rooting for them. But, I mean, he has to be so happy for that organization, for Joe Burrow, just for what they've been able to do in 2 years, basically just turn the tables and completely just resurrect the organization and make them – basically a Super Bowl contender, you know, because before they were nothing when he arrived.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely were not as good as they are today. I mean, they were all right a few years ago when they made it to that wild card game against the Steelers. You know, they were like, what, 8-0 at one point, I believe, in that season?
Yes, they were, yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, you know, the Bengals are here. And trust me, like, as a Cowboys fan, to have your team – perform well in the regular season and then just completely blow up in the playoffs, which, you know, oh yeah, reminds me happened this year. You know, it sucks, but, you know, to see them, they weren't really one of the big contenders going into the playoffs. You know, even now they've got the worst odds to win the Super Bowl, or technically the best odds, whichever way you look at that.
But, right.
You know, they're fourth in, you know, saying who should win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. They're not favorites. They're the biggest underdog.
There you go. Thank you. I was couldn't figure out the words there. But I got you. Yeah, I mean, they've added big pieces that they've needed. They still have a couple of holes. You know, they're still not a perfect team. But you know, they've gotten through some pretty big playoff games so far. I mean, they looked really good against the Raiders, and they looked really good against you know, the Titans. And the Titans were the one seed. So that's good for the Bengals. Now they've got a tough matchup against somebody, this one team who's gone to the championship for the last, what, 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the real test for them, I believe. I think this is their Super Bowl here. If they win this, they win it all, in my opinion.
Do you agree with that, Noah? Because your team that you said was going to win it all, they're out.
Well, yeah. The Packers, I really believed in, but I did say in the NFC I saw two teams the Rams and Packers. And I think if the Bengals make it to the Super Bowl, I think Sean's right. I think they win it all. Because if you can beat the Chiefs and get to that point, what team can't you beat? The one problem I see from what I watched in the Bengals game, Joe Burrow gets sacked. I think those were the two most sacked players in the league, Burrow and yep. So mm-hmm. That's a major issue that I will say is one thing. If they have to play the Rams or probably even the 49ers, that they'd have an issue with. But I don't see that as much being an issue with the Chiefs. I think that they can get around that. If listen, the one thing I like that the Bengals did, I felt like they really tried to take advantage of that and tried to get the ball out quick. You know, that big play to Jamar Chase was a screen play that they just – Joe Burrow got the ball quick, and he was off to the races and did get tackled. But, I think that team is the thing I like about them is there is no one believes in them. Already people are like, they're going to get killed. And I kind of am like, I don't want to see the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl. It's getting annoying. I'm going to be honest with you. They were so likable 2 years. I hate them. I can't stand them. Travis Kelce is like, he's such an idiot. He bothers the crap. Like, don't do another one of your reality shows where you get 20 women and see which one is your match. I mean, give me a
Did he do that?
Yes. It was like the Love with Travis or the
no, oh my God. He had some like reality show.
It was so cringe. And he's like, you know, he just sounds like such an idiot.
I can't believe this is the first time I'm hearing of this.
Yeah. I didn't even know about this. I thought he had I know he has somebody, but I thought they were dating for like a while. I didn't know this. They came from a reality show.
I don't know if that one is, but yes, he did definitely do a reality show.
Typically, those reality show relationships don't.
Yeah, they really don't pan out.
No doubt she's from that.
Get this, it's called Catching Kelce. What?
Oh my God,
bro, that is bad. That's really bad.
Throw him into the trash, okay? That guy is so annoying. He's like, at the end of the game, he's like, "Let's effing go."
He's funny on the field, though, I will say.
No, yeah.
I love his celebrations.
I mean, you got to have that kind of charismatic. But, I mean, I do get it. It's like, you know, they've been there 4 times. It's like, you know, I mean, when is the – I mean, good for them. You know, it's like a little dynasty they kind of have. But it's like, when's the reign going to end? I mean, it's going to end soon, I would assume. I mean, I don't know. But people are saying that whole Bills-Chiefs rivalry, that's just – we just got a taste of what's to come, I think, between those two guys.
Yeah. Also, I mean, the thing that I've heard is that they're going to have to eventually pay some more people. And with that Mahomes contract.
Exactly. That's the problem.
That's a huge hurdle. But then again, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes. He deserves that money. So.
Yeah. Well, we just saw from him on Sunday, 13 seconds left, and he gets them in and he gets them where they need to be.
He was phenomenal. It's getting annoying, though. It's I'm getting mad, but I will say, I know Patrick Mahomes was awesome. I think Josh Allen was better. Like, did you see how good Josh Allen was?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, and I also think that if once Tyrann Mathieu went out and Tardavis Ward went out, I don't know why the Chiefs didn't or the Bills didn't try to take shots deeper more often. It felt like they tried to run the ball. And there were a lot of plays where Josh Allen would get the ball and then the offensive line would cut out and he would just follow them. Like, I felt like they should have taken more shots down the field because he clearly Tyrann Mathieu was being missed. But it was just from beginning to end, that game felt like something's special here. They're two just really awesome players who are the best players on the field when they're out there. They're unbelievable.
Yeah, and then it also unfortunately brought up the whole controversy about the overtime rules where in the NFL, first team that gets possession, they score a touchdown first, game's over. That kind of that kind of opened some people's eyes saying, like, wait a minute, if Josh Allen gets that ball back, do they tie it? Because he was answering, you know, every time they were down, whoever he knew exactly, he did what he had to do. And you're like, if he gets that shot again, does he do it again? So it brings up that whole conversation of, should the rules be changed? I think they should. I don't think it's fair that a coin toss can decide the deciding factor of a game, let alone a playoff game. I think it's a little ridiculous.
Sean, what do you think?
You know, I got to say the same exact thing there. I think both teams should really get an opportunity to, you know, because that game was, like you said, they were both answering each other all the entire game. There were like 20-plus points scored in the last 2 minutes or something like that. Mm-hmm. That last 2 minutes was like some of the best football I've watched. Like that was
crazy.
That was really cool to see. But yeah, I mean, I think the Bills would have absolutely answered there if you had given them the chance. And you know, everybody was kind of saying that if you just even went on social media for 2 minutes after the game, you would have seen, does the NFL need to change their overtime rules? And yeah, I definitely agree that they do. Cause I mean, if we had let these two kind of have like a college kind of overtime where they would just keep going in a shootout, they might've scored 200 points each.
And also we already thought this was like game of the year. This could have been like game of the century if we let that keep going. I don't understand. Like people are like, some people are like, that's the rules. Like let it play out. Like, That's not the point. I just want to say, I said this very early on in when we started doing this show, like on the radio, that I thought that we should go to college, or I thought we should do something more in the college realm. And I remember Colin, mm-hmm. who was, you know, used to be on the show and stuff, and he does our intro and outro and stuff. He said he disagreed. So, I'd be interested to know what he thought of that, like why he disagrees. I mean, like why should one team, because of a coin toss, get
the yeah.
It's like okay, because you could say, all right, in the NBA, there's a tip-off in overtime. And I know it's different because there's, you know, there's more possessions and more points scored, but like you clearly see that there's a way to fairly do it, and they say, okay, here's how you get a chance. And the same thing with baseball. You get last licks. Each inning, you get a chance. So it's like, why can't one team answer back? I don't understand.
That is kind of true. Even in hockey, too, with the shootouts, it's like you go back and forth. But then it's like, all right, if one team scores more and it's, you know, and it's like a 3-2, that team wins.
It's literally. Well, I mean, even before the shootout, you have an overtime period where.
True, yeah.
Like how come people are so like. People are so regimented and, oh, well, we have to stick to these rules. It's like,
nah, it's like evolution. Like we all evolve, times evolve, sports evolve.
It's not a crazy idea to go, okay, well, start from the 25. If this team scores a touchdown, then this team gets a chance to score. And then maybe change it up and do like 2-point conversions and stuff to make it faster. Like you can do it. It's not that difficult. And in fact, the games that go in overtime in the regular season, I don't think there should be ties. I think that's dumb. Like, why should there be a tie?
Yeah, I think that's stupid too.
I don't, it should have a result. Every other sport, right? Maybe not soccer, but like every other sport,
yeah,
both in a game. It makes no sense to me. I don't know.
It's a continuing debate that's going to be debated for a long time now. And I think probably the next CBA agreement, whenever that is, I don't think it's going to be for a while, because I think the NFL just agreed on one, that it's something that's going to be talked about, you know, when that gets expired in the next couple of years. Yeah. But as we look ahead to the championship round, as the winners of these games on Sunday go to the Super Bowl on February 13th, we're going to do our pick-ems real quick. And then we'll get into the Hall of Fame. So first one, Bengals, Chiefs. Chiefs will be home again. Sean, who do you got?
You know, this is a really tough one. I really want to root for my Bengals. Well, my secondly Bengals, however you say that. But I just don't know, dude. The Chiefs are a really tough team. They're going to play the Bengals hard. So I'm just gonna go with my heart here. I'm gonna say Bengals.
I like okay. All right. Gotta go with your heart. No, who do you have?
Yeah, you know that song. It's like my mind's telling me no.
Oh, R. Kelly. That's you know what that song's called?
What is it called?
Bump and Grind.
That's my kind of song.
I don't like how you knew that, Anthony.
Damn. On this show, we don't support R. Kelly's action, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Let's not go into it, but no. All right, anyways.
Yeah. R. Kelly, something else.
My mind is like, it's cheese, it's clear, but I got to go Bengals. I mean, like it's, I'm telling you, it's getting so old to root against the Chiefs, like, or not to root against the Chiefs, but see the Chiefs every year. It's annoying. Like, I want to see a different team. And I think the Bengals might be the most, like, the easiest, like, to root for this season by far. You know, they're just, they're likable, they're young, they're hungry. And I really do think they believe that they can beat any team. Like, I saw the Bucs kind of looked, they looked like kind of just slow and it didn't feel like Tom Brady was as invested this season. And that's like, and maybe it's because we heard the news about him, you know, maybe thinking about retiring, but it just looks like certain teams are really, really ready to go. And the Bengals look like one of them. So I'll go with the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals too. I mean, I just think, you know, I mean, Joe Burrow is this bad man. And to your guys' point, I think that they're hungry, they're young, they want it. And I think that whole team, they want to prove everybody wrong and basically tell them, don't ever doubt us again, you know, and basically put their, you know, make a name for themselves in this league. And, you know, and you're right. This is a team that you want to root for. You know, like I said, 2 years, they flip the franchise around. You have Joe Burrow, who's a guy who, if you look back at his football career, Ohio State was a nobody. Urban Meyer says you're never going to be anything, or you're not going to amount to anything or whatever. Goes to LSU. People are like, oh, he'll be a top quarterback in the SEC, but that'll be it. Has one of the best seasons in LSU history. Goes to Cincinnati and leads them to where we are right now. So at that point, you just got to continue to root for the guy. So that's why I'm.
Yeah, he's so likable. And to be fair, though, he's cocky, but he's backing it up. So
yeah, and he's cocky, but he's not like he has like that right kind of like he knows where to draw the line. Like he doesn't like he shows it off on like social media stuff. When it comes to like press conferences and media, like just his presence, it's like it's different. Like he's not overly cocky with it.
And also, I want to point out, like I forget where I saw it, but think about the AFC, the quarterbacks we're going to be watching for the next, hopefully, 10, 15, 20 years. We got Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. And then if you want to, you could probably include Lamar Jackson. We'll see what happens with him. He's a little bit questionable. But we got some really solid, like, interesting quarterbacks who are awesome in the AFC especially.
Yeah, no, the future's bright for the NFL for these young guys, you know. So yeah. It's good to see as we kind of, you know, move away from the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger era. Unfortunately, the new era is arriving with these next young core that we're witnessing. And you're right; next 15 years, it's gonna be crazy to watch. So we'll see where those guys will stack up against, you know, the greats that I just named. But before we get into baseball, Rams, 49ers. I'm going with the Rams on this one, and I'm going to go – and I'm saying that because I was watching First Take, and someone said this, and I agree with what they said. They said Jimmy G is the guy that was on a – was like – it's like, you know how you're in a group project, and you're basically there, but you get credit for all the work?
Yep.
That's Jimmy G. That was Jimmy G in the divisional round. He's getting all this credit – for stuff that he really didn't do. Yeah. Like you won 13-10, like good job, but like your defense won you that game. You didn't do anything.
The weather probably was the biggest factor in that.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with that.
Like he didn't do, like, what did he do? Like he didn't do any, like that's what I'm saying. Like they had that, like it was what, 7-, yeah, it was that special. Cause if they don't get that special teams recovery, the Packers win. You know, and then we're right. And then this whole other narrative about Rodgers instead of, oh, is it his? Like, it's not his fault.
See, at the same time, you can kind of say that it is because, you know,
you can't pin it all on Rodgers, though.
It's not all on Rodgers. But at the same time, for this guy who's supposed to be like you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like
conversations.
Oh yeah. He's not there anymore. Yeah, he's not there anymore. Like, I don't think
he should have been there before that game. What is he? 11-11 in the playoffs all time.
Now one Super Bowl,
or is it two?
It's one.
Okay. It's got to be something with, like, how the team, how his teams are constructed, because they look so dominant in the regular season, and then get to the playoffs and just, and it's not even like they're getting killed in games. They're close games, but they just don't know. I don't know if it's coach. I don't know what it is, but they don't know how to finish it up. And the thing is, after the block punt, they had a chance to go down and score, and they just took a shot deep and couldn't get it. They were deflated, but they're in Lambeau. They can't win there. It's just, it's insane. And for this game, Anthony, I actually think Jimmy G probably plays well. But I think he makes a mistake late in the game or at some point that is just brutal. Because I will say this. I saw a lot of people on Twitter going, Matt Stafford – or for the game against the Bucks, Matt Stafford's going to screw it up. Matt Stafford's going to screw it up. And, guys, did he screw it up? No. He played well. Like, the one ball that went, like, the center, he wasn't even ready. Like, it was four fumbles. Two of them Cam Akers. I don't know what the heck he was doing.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, right? I mean, he didn't throw the game away. That's what people were saying. If they had any chance of losing the game, he was going to throw it away. But he didn't do that. His other teammates did.
Exactly. Almost. Cooper Kupp, so like out of character, he gets he fumbles, and then the center just freaking threw it to me, a toss in New Jersey. I mean, what are we talking about? So like you know what? I'm so tired of sports media people and. Football fans, because I literally watch so much TV right before the playoffs, and people are like, yeah, I really think the Tennessee Titans are gonna they're gonna be up so big that Joe Burrow is gonna get over yards and this and that. And it was like, so matter of fact, it's like, what are these people watching? Like, do they have any idea what's going on? But I'm gonna say this, Anthony, I'm with you. I like the Rams in this game.
All right.
The Rams. I like Matt Stafford. I like his weapons. And I think if they win this game, even if they have to play the Chiefs, they're going to be tougher to beat than people think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's because of their defense. The amount of pressure they had on Brady was absurd.
And that's how you beat them. That's how you beat
them. Sean, who do you have in this one?
You know what, boys? I'm thinking that it's going to be a clean sweep here.
Oh my God!
I think I'm gonna go with the Rams.
It's gonna be the opposite both now. Come on.
Yeah. Right.
We all agree.
I gotta say though, it has been a sweep for the Rams in the
playoffs.
In the not the playoffs for the postseason or regular season against the 49ers. So now it's gonna be a sweep for them. They're gonna continue the sweep, and they're gonna help us sweep.
This is right.
These picks.
Remember last year when the Saints beat the Bucks like twice in the regular season and then had to play them in the playoffs and couldn't get it done? They always say it's so hard to beat a team thrice, okay? And I agree. I think the Rams get it done because of the 49ers have all the confidence. Even though the Rams are going to be favored going into the game, I think the Rams beat them. I really do.
All right. So it's a clean sweep on both sides. We all got the Bengals and we all the Rams. We'll get Dom's picks. I'll shoot him a text regarding his picks. I have a feeling he's going to go against the grain on us with these picks, but we'll wait and see.
He let everyone know that he picked the 49ers.
Yeah.
It's all on social media. You know what he didn't say? He didn't say that he had the Bucks in the next game.
That he didn't do. Yeah.
I'm going to.
But
right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably respond to you later. But anyway, so moving on, the Hall of Fame announcement in Major League Baseball was announced. It was a pretty interesting ballot because there was no clear favorite, you should say, in terms of someone's like definitely getting in, like it's slam dunk. Big Poppy David Ortiz was the only one that you could kind of say was the sort of guy who people thought, okay, was going to get in. But unfortunately, he does have the blemish of the Mitchell report on him, even though One, that was never supposed to be released when it did get released in 2007. And number two, he doesn't know what he tested positive for. He said that on multiple occasions. So that's where he kind of had it going for him on, like, on the good side for him. But that was still, unfortunately, like, on his, like, record that he was on that report. And so was A-Rod and Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens and Mark McGwire. And they all are linked to PEDs and have that I didn't do it or have been appeared in court or have been suspended by the league. So, but David Ortiz does get in by 2%, 77.9%. He does get in. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens fall short on their final year by getting 66 and 65% respectfully. And then right behind them, Scott Rowland, 63%. Kurt Schilling's also final year on the ballot, 58%. But he did say a lot of things like, don't vote me in. And he has all this hate speech going against him, which really doesn't help his character, unfortunately. And then you have other guys like Todd Helton, 52%, Billy Wagner, 51%, A-Rod got 34%. And, you know, you look down the list of some first year guys that aren't going to, you know, stay on the ballot. Tim Hudson, 3%, Tim Lincecum, 2%, Brian Howard, 2%, Mark Teixeira only got 1%, Marneau got 1%, Papelbon, your boy Sean, that only got 1%. Prince Fielder only got 0.5%. Unfortunately, his career was cut short by a neck injury. And then Carl Crawford and Jake Peavy got no votes. So, Sean, I'll go to you first. I mean, Big Poppy's your guy. He's basically, I would say, right next to Ted Williams. That's the face of your organization. So, you know,
I'd say he's the face already now.
You think with this, he overtakes Ted Williams?
Oh, yeah, easily. Well, just think about it. Ted Williams was like freaking 100 years ago, dude. Like, all the young guys now are going to – they're not just guys. All the young watchers fans of the MLB, all the young fans, they're all going to know Big Poppy before they're going to know Ted Williams. I mean, obviously, you know, baseball enjoyers like us, we all know who Ted Williams is. But, I mean, you ask an 8-year-old who's a Red Sox fan who Ted Williams is, he might not know, but he's definitely going to know who Big Poppy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's fair. But, I mean, what do you think this does for – Well, first of all, how happy are you that he's in, you know, your guy that you got to witness when you not one, not two, but three rings. And his best one was the last one he was in 2013. And I know you remember that one very vividly. So if you can kind of take me back to that time, a long time ago, you were in the seventh grade when all that went down. Yep. So just kind of like watching him as a fan, like, what do you like remember the most about kind of watching David Ortiz and kind of what he brought to your organization, like, every day?
People were just afraid of him. I mean, you know, he was one of those guys where he stepped up to the plate and then he's like, the pitcher's just going to be like, okay, how am I going to deal with him this time? Because he was that guy. I mean, in the postseason, he got intentionally walked so many times just because of the damage he was doing. And I mean, goes to show he played outstanding in that postseason. And he was a big reason in why we won. So yeah. And you were right. His 2013 postseason was his best out of every single one that he ever had. So I'd say, he just brought just such an energy to the team where he was like, you know, I'm going to beat you and I'm going to let you know, like, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. And also they brought this up of how, like, you know, obviously, you know, our boys got in the last 2 years, Mariano and Jeter and now Poppy. It kind of rounds out that whole rivalry that was happening in the 2000s with this team from like 2003 to, I would say, probably like 2014, where it was Red Sox, Yankees, Big Poppy, Jeter, A-Rod, Rivera, like all those guys. Like, that's kind of like, you know, him getting in is kind of like that was kind of the group. And let's not forget Pedro too, who was also kind of in that mix as well. So it's kind of cool to see. And it kind of, you know, brings that part of the rivalry to life in the Hall of Fame, that those three guys, probably the most prominent figures, not only of the sport during that time, but also of the rivalry, are now in Cooperstown and were enshrined within a 3-year period.
Yeah. It's impressive. I mean, it's just, this may be unpopular, but it's hard for me to be like celebratory because, you know, there is a little bit of ambiguity or question marks about him being inducted. You know, I mean, Listen, to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me that much if David Ortiz is in the sense that, good for him. Like, you know, am I going to like crusade about it? No. It's so weird to me, the takes that have been happening. It's like I said before the show, we have this issue with the Astros and we have cheaters and people are so like just losing their minds. Like, oh my God, the cheaters, the Trastros. And then people who individually cheat and go through, you know, do PEDs. And listen, there are a ton of athletes, people who were already inducted, who have done it. So like, there's no getting around that, but it's just weird to me that people are fighting so hard for like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens to get in. And then the people who there clearly are people that voted for David Ortiz, but didn't vote for Barry Bonds and Roger. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Cause it's like,
it's so stupid. It's
like, because I think with Ortiz, it's the fact that like, there is no clear evidence that he did it. That's the problem. There is no clear evidence that he ever had it in his system, nor did he tested positive. Like with A-Rod, he admitted to it. I mean, he admitted to it on Peter Gammons on ESPN that I did it in Texas. And then there's the thing, what did he do to New York? Which, in my opinion, he did.
He did it. Okay, well, I'll say in my opinion too, just so we don't get sued. But like, he was popping pills like I eat ice cream. I mean, that guy was going to town. Like, what are we talking about? And then like David Ortiz to be like, I don't know, it was in my system. Like,
yeah, I mean, that is true. Like, yeah.
What does that even mean? Like, you don't know? Look, all I know is I don't mind that David Ortiz is, just don't, let's not act like these Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are being like oppressed or mistreated, or how dare they not acknowledge them in the Hall of Fame. Like, people act like these are like, they're being treated like they're being like mistreated horribly. They're not in the Hall of Fame. Who gives a crap? Like, I just don't understand why people, like Jeff Passan, he sucks. Okay. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But he is, what is he talking? Like, he's so like on this crusade about Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens not getting in. But again, are we really going to stress like cheating to our kids who are like, I don't know. It just seems so like weird to me that you would fight so hard for that. I don't know.
Yeah. I do get it. Cause it's like, but because then again, it's like, I was listening to like Howard Bryant, cause they were doing SportsCenter, you know, was doing this E60 kind of little segment of enshrine or decline or something like that. And it was for the Hall of Fame and talking about the each candidates. And they were doing like A-Rod and Ortiz and Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. And the one thing that, you know, Howard said was the fact that they keep the records, they keep the money, they keep the fame, but now they want their reputation. You can't have it all.
Yeah.
And that I agree with. And look, Barry Bonds, before the 1999-2000 season, he was a Hall of Famer already. Exactly. At that point. But I think that's the issue that people have, is that, okay, well, if you take away everything that happened from 2000 to 2007, he's in. But the fact that everything from, you have to take into consideration for what happened from, you know, this century, yeah, it taints him. Because it's like everything from that point on, he's in. Right, he's gonna be one of the all time greats, but the dude was putting up video game numbers. Yeah. He had a slugging percentage of 800 and on base percentage of 50%. That's like a juice guy in MLB The Show.
Yeah, and so and that the hardest thing for me too is, I'm of the opinion that Pete Rose should probably be in, and if he's mm-hmm. then you, I guess you really can't say. It's hard for me to say, okay, well, then Pete Rose needs to be in, but Barry Bonds. And so I do get that. Like, you can't have it both ways. You have to decide. If Pete Rose is getting in, then Barry Bonds and freaking Roger Clemens should be in. So I do get it. Okay.
And Pete Rose did have his chance to get in. He did have a chance to clear his name and he blew it.
And you're right. He tried to make it. He would try to, I didn't cheat.
If he admitted to it, he probably would have got his name back on the ballot.
Giamatti, he gave him a chance and he screwed it up. How do you not have the 4,200?
The all-time hit king.
Yeah, and you could say the same thing for Barry Bonds. The question is to you guys, is there one situation that's worse? Is it worse to do these, or is it worse to bet on the game and compromise what's going? Because did he bet against
the thing is, they're saying, from what I've heard, and I gotta read into it, the thing is he never betted against his team. He always betted them to win.
It's still wrong.
But I think Bonds is worse this has nothing to do, because he's going in as a Piro's going in as a player, not a manager.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But that's where it's like, I think Bonds and Clemens are worse, because that P. Rose's that issue has nothing to do with his playing career. He did it clean as day.
It's such an interesting dichotomy, like comparing the two, because you're right. Before you can trace back the PEDs, Barry Bonds was a monster. I mean, it's not like he didn't do anything, but when he gets the record, he's on the PEDs. So it's just really.
Mm-hmm. And it's like from age 34 to 38, you win 4 MVPs and have your best seasons. Like, how does that make sense? And Roger Clemens at age 42 has an ERA of 1.87.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that?
But then can you say, well, the PEDs are a big part of that. Like, you're getting up there in age and you're able to still be like, it's like Tom Brady now. Like, Tom Brady's,
or he's going to be 45 in August.
And he might play another season. Like, I don't know. It's just, I can see, though, if you're going to, like I think Sean agrees with this. Like, if you're going to say Pete Rose is in, then you have to kind of, right? Like, I guess you do have to say, you know, I get that. So it's just a hard conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got to agree with that. And, you know, I'll kind of bring this up. I don't know if you kind of intended of going this way. But, you know, when I was talking about it, I never really brought up the point that, you know, Ortiz was potentially cheating or using, you know, PEDs. The fact that he was like, you know, if you own up to it, you kind of get looked at better than if, you know, you kind of try to go to the grave that you were cheating with it, like Pete Rose.
But what about A-Rod?
A-Rod, you know, it's a little different because he was for so long, I'm not doing it. And then he's like, yeah, I'm doing it. Like, you know?
Okay, yeah. It's, I guess, like, yeah, you know, that's true. Because we go back to write that 60 Minutes interview with Katie Couric. Stone cold face. No.
Exactly.
It's
like, so, you put your hand in the cookie jar and people are going like, A-Rod, do you have your hand? No, I don't.
It's like, A-Rod, I'm looking at your hand in the cookie jar right now.
It's literally like when I'm in the kitchen at like 11 at night and my mom walks down and she's like, Noah, are you eating ice cream again? I'm like, no. She's like, I see you with a bowl on the kitchen table. Like, how can you deny it? And I'm like, you're right.
You know? And Noah's like, me eating ice cream? No, like, what? Like, mom, are you kidding, mom?
Like, what? It really is like the commercials where the people are like, I don't know, it's not me. Like, what? Like, you can't deny it.
Yeah. But then again, it's like, so I guess Sean, your point is that, like, if you don't own up to it from the beginning, then it's okay.
Like, no, it's, I'm not like saying, it's obviously you don't want to be cheated.
Well, obviously, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, in Poppy's sake, like, maybe there is a world where he actually didn't know,
possible,
you know, what was going on. And that's possible, because sometimes doctors can prescribe you something that they may not know is, you know, something that is, what's it called, banned from the MLB.
Yeah, banned substance.
That just happened to somebody recently. Didn't that happen to – it wasn't Robbie Cano that got caught. Like, that was like, I didn't know. Right. Or was it Marte? It was one of the Martes, maybe.
I think it was Starlin Marte.
Yeah, where he was like, yeah, like, my doctor prescribed this to me, and I took it.
It was Starlin Marte. Cano flat out did it.
Yeah, no. Cano, yeah, he did it.
He was taking M&M's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I remember Starlin Marte was like, listen, like, I'll take my, like, you know, what's coming to me, but, like, straight up, I didn't know, like that this was banned. Like, you know, had I known, I wouldn't have taken it. But, you know, maybe that could have been something, you know, going on with Poppy. But again, you know, there's definitely some of the people that are like, oh, yeah, I had no idea this would help me. And then they're like, hell yeah, I knew the entire time. And yeah. I was hitting bombs. But no, yeah, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, and making stupid money. Like yeah, him.
And who the hell knows, honestly? Nobody can ever really know exactly what's going on except for the people close to Poppy and Poppy himself. So
yeah. So well honestly, it's the answer that'll never be and it's like the answer that'll never be solved, right? You'll never know for sure. It'll be always up for speculation. And honestly, he falls into this category that are people that are currently in the Hall of Fame. Mike Piazza, Pudge Rodriguez, you know, those guys have been speculated to have done PEDs, or people have said they've done it, but they haven't openly admitted to doing it. Now, I know those two guys weren't on the Mitchell Report, but their names have always kind of been rumbling around of the fact that, like, they kind of were in that world of like doing it, but they kind of said, oh, I never did it, but well, they're still in the Hall of Fame.
The other thing, Anthony, too, is I've seen things that guys like Mickey Mantle and Hank Aaron, legends, admitted they did it.
Really? So, I heard Hank Aaron kind of was been on the record, because funny you mentioned that, because I was watching and, you know, they were saying stuff like Joe Morgan said, PED users should not belong in the Hall of Fame. And Hank Aaron said there are no shortcuts in life. So it's funny you mentioned Hank Aaron.
Let me check to make sure, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, there were a couple of those older players that are like absolute legends. Well, maybe not. I thought it was him.
You know, I wouldn't even be that surprised if a lot of people back then did that, because it wasn't as frowned upon, you know.
No, I'm wondering too, because the crusade of PEDs came with Bud Selig, so there was a time before that where what was the reaction to them? You know, obviously, I'm not saying people were like, "Stop them, who cares?"
Well, yeah, because back then they were working on the cocaine issue that was happening in baseball. That's why this got swept under the rug for so long, because they were trying to fix that issue. That was a big issue in the 80s, and they had to really crack that down.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? I'm going to say this. This might be one of my favorite conversations we had, because I was pretty, like, even today, like, I was like, it makes no sense. Like, why would we let Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in? And I'm not even saying that I would, if I had a vote, not that I do, but like, if I had a vote, I would put them in. But it, that question of the Pete Rose thing, I think, is the biggest, like, what if? Because if you're gonna let Pete Rose in, it's hard to then say, well, absolutely not, you can't let Barry Bonds in. You know, like, it's a little bit, there becomes this question of what you're willing to let go. And of course, there have been players that, you know, and I'm not sure as much about the Hank Aaron one. I know for a fact the Mickey Mantle one has been speculated. In fact, I think he admitted it. But, like, you have to acknowledge this, though, I will say. I wonder when we found out, or when people found out about Mickey Mantle's use and Hank Aaron's use, because if it was after the voting when it happened, then that is a little different. You know, I mean, we're coming from the position that we know Roger Clemens did it. We know Barry Bonds did it. We know Mark McGwire. We know Sammy Sosa. We know these players. So it's hard to say how you'd feel if you didn't know. And then it's like, can you strip them of the Hall of Fame status because you thought, or they did amphetamines and, you know, whatever year. So it's a great conversation. I love this. This is awesome. Cause it, you know, Sean and you guys have made fair points. And I think I'm more in the middle than I ever have been. Again, not that I would vote them in, but that it's at least a conversation that should be had.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this. So if you're a writer and you have a ballot for this one, knowing it's the final year for Bonds and Clemens, do you vote them in? Mind you, now, the next time that they're up for consideration is in December.
And that's the board, right? Like the board.
Yeah, it's the committee.
And the committee, I think it's 16 members, 12 of them have to.
So they got, yeah, still 75%. So all of them got to vote you in.
I'm curious. Well, what about Sean? Would he vote them in? What if this is the last year? This is your ballot. Would you vote Bonds and it's a good question. Bonds and Clemens in. Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, you know what? I think I would vote them in. I'd say that Barry Bonds is probably the best hitter of all time. And I'd maybe even throw an argument out there that Roger Clemens is the best pitcher of all time. He's definitely up there. So, you know, you cannot have a Hall of Fame without the best hitter and the best pitcher. Because what type of Hall of Fame is that?
And I think that's the issue that people are running into, especially with more Bonds than Clemens. Because, I mean, look, I mean, you can debate who's the best pitcher of all time. You could say it's Roger Clemens. You could say it's Sandy Koufax. You can say it's Whitey Ford, right? There's, like, it's just all of, like, who's, like, Randy Johnson's in that conversation, Pedro Martinez. Like, you can, like, that goes, that's just, like, a, that's a debate that could go on for decades. But, I mean, Barry Bonds is clearly the best hitter that baseball has ever seen. And we're probably never going to see that again. Like, no one's going to do what he did, regardless of the PEDs. But, I mean, it's the final year. I mean, the fact that he never got suspended technically and he never fully admitted to it. But you look at his body and his head and like, yeah, your head's pretty big, dude. Like, you're probably juicing it.
The question is he considered the best hitter or one of the best players of all time? Because a lot of people do think he's the best player ever.
I would agree he's the best player ever.
If he doesn't do those, does he get those 7 years that he, you know, whatever the rest of his career? I don't know. I can't imagine him being able to break the record he did without using the steroids.
I don't think he doesn't break the record. I don't think he breaks the record, but he'll go. He would. I think his narrative would have been changed completely.
Probably close, but I just. So can I be honest with you guys? I don't think I can vote him in. I don't.
Oh, really? I'd vote him in.
I just can't. I can't get my mind around the
it's a good argument.
It's fair.
You don't know how much of that resulted from him doing steroids.
Yeah.
It's you know what? At least I feel like this is the most like civilized conversation you can have about it without like, because I feel as though everybody on Twitter is so one-sided about it and can't be moved at all. And I really do think sitting down with you guys has kind of moved me more towards the middle of it. Like it's not about like me looking down upon them. It's more about, can I rationally say I can vote for somebody who cheated into the Hall of Fame? I just don't know if I can do that. So, but it's a really, really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
Like what the intricacies and who really deserves it and who doesn't.
Yeah. And the thing is with Bonds, and this is the last point I'll make about him, is the fact that, look, I mean, his ego got in the way after the 98 season. You know, you have Bonds who's doing these incredible things in San Francisco that season. But meanwhile, you got two airheads who are juicing themselves, having the summer of the lifetime. And I think that's what got to him. And I think he's like, all right, well, that's what everyone's doing. That's what is going to get my name, you know, more known or more like, or become like the face of baseball or whatever. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what he did. So had his ego and just him wanting all this fame, had it not gotten in the way, he wouldn't have done it. But the fact that the 98 season happened, they broke the record. He was pissed off. He did what he did. And because that was the thing. That was the reason that he kind of did it, was because he was pissed off at what Mark and Sammy were doing, and he wanted a part of that, and he just took it to a whole nother level.
And you can at least understand that in the sense that it's not like he was the only one. It's just he did it so well, you know, like in the sense like he used it so well to his advantage, and he was already such a good player that it just elevated him that much more than that.
Yeah.
You know, because are Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa the same players without the steroids? Probably not. I mean, that's one thing. The one thing in favor of Bonds is that he was that good before that.
Yeah, and the thing is with Sammy and Mark McGwire is that the rumors to them, and I think it's true, is that they did it when they first broke into the league. Which is
insane. That's insane.
You know, because Mark had Jose Canseco as his mentor.
And you know what that means.
Yep.
He was juiced up. That's what that means.
Yeah. They in his book Juice, they go in the bathroom and stick needles in their ass.
They oh did Did we just get an expletive for this podcast?
Yeah. It's true. It's true, though. That's what was said in the book.
Did you just say the A word?
Yeah, I said they stick needles up their asses in the bathroom stalls like every A's game.
You know what they say? They're like, the MPA ratings, you get like two A words, two F words. And once you do that, you're R, rated R.
Two okay. F words. That's kind of
hey, at least we're not rated R.
Yeah, and in the end movies, I think you get like one or two F words, and if you do a third one, you're automatically in R movie.
I thought it was one.
Maybe it is one. Well, what I was thinking was like a great concept for a movie is like the start of the movie, the first two words are the F word, and then you're like, ah, oh, now we got to be rated R movie. Okay, if anyone so picked funny. That, you heard it here first. I made that up. I said, oh, F word. Oh, we got to be a rated R movie now.
I didn't yeah, even and like rated R podcast. For the rest of the show, just have it be like Care Bears or something, like, or not show movie.
Yeah, and they're like, well, we gotta make rated R. Oh, that's great. That's
but yeah, so- but that's true. No, but you're right. I think that they're not the same. They're not the same players without it. And the rumor is even with A-Rod too. Like even though A-Rod said he admitted it during Texas. There's also the rumor that he did it in Seattle, you know, like there's that rumor. And it's like, would he have been this greater player had he not had it? Like that's also that big rumor too. But then again, we don't know if he did it from 96 to 2000 or from 2004 to, you know, 2016.
And like, also he kind of like, remember how it was like, he's going to break the record. He's going to break the record. People were so sure of it, but could like what if him doing it so early in his career affected his growth later? You know, that because the steroids do affect how you are later in life, you know. So I wonder if that had I don't know. I have no idea.
But yeah, because A-Rod at the time he hit the 600th home run, he was the youngest person to do it.
Yeah, so people are like, he's doing this, but he slowed down, started getting injured, and then those last couple seasons were an ugly, ugly end to a career. But I don't know. I just, it's a really good conversation. I'm glad we kind of scheduled this in advance because we knew when this would come out. And it's so crazy that David Ortiz is the only one. Cause I think Curt Schilling is the one that kind of gets screwed the most. Like
he screwed himself.
I agree with you, but what do you honestly want? Two guys cheated completely. And he said some really dumb, stupid crap. I mean, like,
yeah. And he has the best strikeout to walk ratio in MLB history.
How do you not induct him? It makes no sense to me. It's like, oh, well, he's a bad person. Okay, yeah, well, Barry Bonds cheated. Roger Clemens cheated. I mean, I'm cheating. Who cares? Who cares about good people? I mean, I don't care.
I don't know. All I know is he'll be on the committee with Bonds and Clemens. I feel like he's going to be the one that's going to get in because that's who he wants to vote. So they're going to get him in because last year he was 4% away.
Do you know Ty Cobb? He would literally, when he would slide into second, he would put his feet like up in the air, like spike guys.
Yeah, he would.
People that do that, like,
it's a different time.
What is wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, like, but that's my point. Like, we're like, he's, why isn't he a better person? It's like, these are the days of our lives. Like, shut up. Like, he's so dramatic. Like, get over yourself.
It's a soap opera, Days of Our Lives.
Yeah, it's like Jet Pass. It's like, why aren't they in? And then Buster Olney's like, I don't know. It's like, shut up, you dummies. It's like, you know, it's so annoying.
But
yeah.
Oh, man. But real quick, out of all the other guys that are, that were on the ballot, you know, besides, you know, the main like top four, like Bonds, Clemens, Roland, and Schilling. What about the other guys? Do you think any of these guys deserve have a legitimate case? I'll just rattle out the names and you just give me one name. Todd Helton, Billy Wagner, Andrew Jones, Gary Sheffield, Jeff Kent, Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizquel, Andy Pettit, Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Abreu, Mark Burley, Torrey Hunter, and then we got Joe Nathan, Tim Hudson, Tim Lincecum, Ryan Howard, Mark Teixeira, and Justin Morneau. Do you think any of these guys have a legitimate case to one day break in?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd say maybe at one point, maybe not this early. I'd say maybe people like, I'd maybe even say like Ryan Howard. I always thought Ryan Howard was Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, and Andrew Jones to me is an interesting one because I don't know if the numbers are really there, but he was so smooth and such a good outfielder.
He had 10 gold gloves. He has 10.
Yeah.
As much as Griffey.
He was a great outfielder.
Great arm, and he was such a sweet baseball player. So he's one that I would say maybe has a shot. I mean, the Curt Schilling one's crazy, but you're right. Like, he's a major one. But Andrew Jones, to me, seems like a guy. Even a Torrey Hunter, I would like to see more of his numbers, like to see where he stacks up.
Yeah. I mean, Torrey Hunter, I think, got 8 or 9 gold gloves, a few all-star games. I don't know if he hit the 300 home run mark. I think he did. But I think what's kind of lacking is like that is like maybe like the awards. I feel like what killed Andrew Jones, unfortunately, was the tail end of his career. After the 05 season, after his 10th gold glove, he finished second in the MVP voting that year. After that, he really fell off. His knees were really bad. He had a lot of injuries, wasn't the same anymore. And I feel like that's what killed him.
Yeah.
I feel like he would have gotten in. Going into the 06 season, he was on that trajectory of like,
yeah,
like he's getting into the Hall of Fame. I agree with you on he was one of them that I agree with. Andrew Jones, I have two. Gary Sheffield, because he's in that category of Big Poppy where his name is rumored to have done it, but he's not, it's not confirmed. So he falls into that Big Poppy, Pudge, Piazza category. He does have the 500 home runs, and at one point that was the hallmark to get in.
Yeah,
it's like Fred McGriff, he gets 7 home runs, he's in. But he's 7 short and he's not in yet. So
that 500 is a big, big, big deal for home runs.
Yeah. So I think like he deserves getting in. And honestly, I feel like Todd Helton is going to get in. You know, I feel bad that he played with the Rockies his whole career because of the Coors effect. But this guy played for the Rockies for his entire career, won the batting title in 2000, hit 370. It was just consistent year in and year out. You know, I know he doesn't have the MVP. He doesn't have a ring, even though he was on the 07 team when they faced Sean's Red Sox and they ultimately lost in that series. But I feel like, you know, he has a legitimate shot to get in one day. But I think those are my only two, along with Andrew Jones. I would have said Andy Pettit, but to your point, he admitted to doing the PEDs in Houston.
So, and that's the thing. He's on the cusp already. The fact that the PEDs are there, it drops him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a shame because I like Andy.
He's a great guy, and he admitted it. He was like, I did it. Like,
my yeah. Yeah.
Not a, but you know what I mean? Like, I screwed up.
I think that's where it comes into, all right, did Roger do it? Because, like, where would he get it from, Roger? Because they played together in Houston.
Houston, yep. And so, that wasn't that, like, Roy Oswalt, too? Like,
yeah, that was a filthy team. Lance Berkman.
Could you imagine, like, you're like, okay, we got a 5-game series. Like, who we played in game one? We got a Roger Clemens. Okay. Let's score. Oswald. Okay. All right. We got this. Game 3. Andy Pettit. in like a big game. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And they couldn't do it. They lost the White Sox.
Yeah. That's what's so crazy. They didn't even get it done.
Insane.
Weren't they close a couple of years? Didn't they come?
They were close in 04. And then Pujols just absolutely crushed their hopes and dreams.
That's right, because they were in the NL then.
Yeah.
Forget that. Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah, that's always so weird to me because I go back and I'm like, in the years that they were like in the playoffs and stuff, I'm like looking at their matchups. I'm like, wait, NL, AL, I'm like, what's going on? I always forget about that.
Yeah, because back then there was – because that's what made it even. I think it was like 16-14 at the time. So then them moving them to the AL made it 15-15. So – but anyway, but listen, that was a fun conversation we had on both sides, both on playoffs and kind of the Hall of Fame. You know, that's always – this is kind of like our yearly Hall of Fame baseball talk.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do it again next year. I don't know who is going to be on the ballot next year for first-time inductees, but, you know, we'll find out next January. We'll find out probably if we want to, like tomorrow or whatever, but we're not going to talk about it until next year or when the baseball season is upon us and Hall of Fame weekend comes in July. But we'll obviously be back next week, Thursdays at noon, for a brand new episode for a recap on the championship series. And getting into that, as after that's over, we're going to get ready for the Super Bowl. what that entails, both for the game, the halftime show, commercial. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. We also have the Knicks Nets panel, which we'll probably do in the coming weeks as well. Got to get that prepped. We're going to have probably get some guests to come on the show. So that'll be really fun. And then, you know, we'll probably have some interviews on the way with Sean's cousin, Jimmy Mulvaney. He has a big announcement. And so we got to get him on and tell us what that's all about. And I was in talks with a good friend of ours, former guest on the show way back when we first started doing the podcast over quarantine, Justin Davidovitz. So we'll get him on and we'll maybe get his girlfriend on, because she's also big in collegiate sports and lacrosse. So I feel like it'd be cool to kind of have the two of them on for like kind of a dual interview. I feel like that'd be kind of cool to see like how, like, you know, their careers are kind of transpired, and also how they're able to kind of have this kind of working, you know, relationship with each other and be in like doing the same thing. And like, how does that work, and how does that help their relationship knowing that they're both going through the same thing? Mm-hmm. Something like that. I think that'd be pretty cool. So that's all what we have in store in the next coming weeks, but we thank you as always for tuning in. We enjoy your support. You listening each and every week, it means a lot to us. So if you want to check us out on socials, you can, the_Sports_Fever on Instagram, the_Sports_Fever1 on Twitter, and you can shoot us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. But that's going to do it for us. Be sure to tune in next week, Thursdays at noon, for a brand new episode.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.